Glory to God. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 24. Thank you so much for coming to the house of the Lord this morning, because that is your most important assignment, is to be in His presence. Anytime you're not in His presence, you cannot be in His will. You must be in the presence of the Lord to be in His will this morning. Amen. And I appreciate all of you coming. Remember our business meeting tonight at 5. Mark 3, 24. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And when you're talking about kingdom, they're talking about the constituents, the members of the kingdom. When we're talking about a house, we're talking about the members of the house. It cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself, he is divided. And be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He will spoil the people of the house. I want to talk to you from this title, My House is in Trouble. My House. And I want to preach that as a title, because I want you that maybe are in turmoil in your house, job, your soul, because I will add this, not in trying to add to the word of the Lord, but I will tell you this. The Bible says to serve the Lord with singleness of heart. So if your heart is divided against itself, there's nothing worse than a divided heart. There's nothing worse than your heart being one place and you being another place. But when your heart's where you're at, for wherever a man's treasure is, there is his heart. And if you have them up there, my heart, I'm already there. I don't know about y'all, but I'm already there. No, the Bible says we have our conversation in heaven. That's what the book says. I'm already there. They're just waiting on me, because that's where my heart is this morning. Glory to God. My house is in trouble. Lord, I come before you this morning believing that you have not only assured me but reassured me several times this week that this is the message for somebody today. Glory to God. And I ask you not let it be words that fall upon deaf ears, but let the house get in order. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Obviously, you came here this morning. You left your house. You left wherever you were staying, and you came here this morning. And perhaps when you left, you locked your doors. I hope that you did. And there's been many times when we left our house, and we say, did that garage door go down? And sometimes we'll say, now, don't leave till the garage door goes down. And we'll drive out, did you watch it go down? And my wife will say, all the way? You know, because sometimes we turn around and go back, yeah, it's down. But there's been times where we didn't. And we're glad we turned around. Because I want my stuff in my house to be safe. And it's a sad day. I wish I knew the amount of money that is spent in defense, law enforcement, sheriff's department, locks, keys, you name it. Now it's cyber stuff. I'm having to buy Symantec, Norton, or whatever it is that keeps them from viruses and all this kind of stuff. Used to a virus, you got it at buffets and stuff. I won't mention any names, you get viruses there. Now you get them on your computer. And we spend all this money trying to protect what is already ours. I mean, this is crazy. But this is the world we live in. So we set alarms, and you live sometimes neighborhoods will put up neighborhood watch. And sometimes they just watch them steal you. They don't say anything. I've lost stuff in my front yard. It's like, hello, neighbors, was it you that stole it? Because no one called me. You go down my street, you would think that a hurricane is coming through. I'm serious. Now, you might not think about that where you live, but where I live, If a bike is left out overnight, it is gone by the morning. I'm telling you, you can't even put anything by the road. It won't last the day. Somebody's already picked it up. They're just passing through, looking on bicycles sometimes and cars and other times. They're looking to take what is easy to take. The thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Christ said, I come that you might have life, thank God, and have it more abundantly. Well, I don't have to worry about thieves and robbers and cankerworms and things destroying my treasure. Hallelujah. We all do these things in an effort to keep trouble out of the house. Lock your door, set your alarms, all these kinds of things. We have fire insurance on your house in case it burns down. And you don't want it to burn down, but you got insurance just in case. And you probably spent more on fire insurance and theft insurance and insurance and all of that. You could have built a new house by now with all the insurance that you've spent. We do all this to protect our house from being brought to an end or to desolation. But can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Lord showed me this morning that the real danger lives in the house. The real danger is not the fire, it's not the flood. You can rebuild, you can do it again. But the real danger lives in the house. Yes, it does. It lives. The most dangerous thing of the house are the people that live in the house. You're more likely to get shot in your house by somebody in your house than you are outside your house. You don't believe me? Check police reports. Check police reports. You ever heard of domestic violence? An officer has told me several times, I'd rather do a drug bust than go to domestic violence because you don't know what you're stepping into. It's a house that is being divided against itself. And it is brought to, this is going to end today. Something's going to happen today. You're more likely to get into a fight in your house than you are out in a bar. You're more likely to get screaming and hollering and cussing in your own house. Oh, it's getting quiet in this house. In your own house than it is to go outside into this world and run somebody bump into you at Walmart. And you go, leave me alone. That's fine. They'll go on. But in your house, it's in your face. And you can't shut enough doors to keep somebody out. Hello. Sometimes people get in their car and drive off because they want to get out of the house. The real danger is in the house. You're more likely to get something stolen from somebody who lives in your house. Oh, come on now. Where'd them quarters go? Johnny? You're more likely to slip and fall in your own house than you are running from a criminal at 2 o'clock in the morning. 63% of Americans die in a hospital. The other 25% more die in their homes. You add the two together, you're at 88% die in some kind of house. The rest of them die on the road or some other place. There you go. And I hope that you feel safe in your house. I do at times, and there's times I don't. A house should be a place of safety, but there's one thing I want safe in my house are the people that live in my house. Amen. It's a dangerous world out there, but I'm telling you, it's more dangerous in your house than it is out there if that house gets divided against itself. I've been in the investment business for quite some time, and I don't mean anything by this with men and women. I'm not saying. But many, many times I've dealt with the man on his finances for years and years and never heard from the lady, not one time. But if that phone rings and she says, hey, this is Alice, I just want to check the value of our accounts, and she's never called before, I know a house is being divided. You're more dangerous of losing your stuff in your house by dividing it than you will what the world will take away from you. The danger is in the house. For the Bible says a man's enemies, his foes, shall be of his own household. Isn't that what the book said? House divided against itself cannot stand, but is brought to an end. And Jesus went on to say that no man can enter a strong man's house. I mean, nobody can enter in if the strong man is awake and he's waiting, except he first bind that strong man, and then he can spoil his goods or take his stuff. If the strong man is considered the keeper of the house. Where's my housekeepers this morning? Where's my housekeepers? I'm not talking about washing the dishes, and I'm not talking about vacuuming the carpet. I'm talking about who's the strong man that keeps the house. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Hallelujah. There's one stronger than you this morning. In fact, there's two stronger than you. Is the devil and the Lord. And without the Lord, he'll overcome you. And except this first, this strong man be bound, then his house is at peace. But if he be bound, then what happens is he spoils his goods. Oh, my God, I wish I could preach to everybody tonight, this morning, because if you ever get bound to drugs, see, except you first bind the strong man. Once he's addicted to that, he forgets about the house. Once he's hooked on this, he forgets about the kids. Because he's bound by that. And now the house can be divided. Once the strong man of the house gets bound to anything, I don't care, it can be fishing and hunting. I've seen houses divided, said he never grew up. That's the most common complaint I hear when houses are divided from the lady's side. He never grew up. And you know what? She's usually right. Kept playing with his toys and kept doing these things and didn't spend time at the house. Ooh, it's going to be quiet this morning. We'll preach it anyway. Housekeepers. Where's the housekeepers? Who protects the territory? It'd be a shame for me to lay in the bed and my wife get out there with a skillet to go hit the robber, and me laying in bed. Well, let me know if you needed me to call the cops. I got to be the strong man. As scared as I may be, you understand me? As fearful as I may be, my house is at stake. I'll risk my life to save my house. Where's my housekeepers this morning? Where's the one that's going to keep peace in the house? Oh, my God. The house is where really the war is at, my brothers and sisters. It's the house that the devil wants. It's the house he wants. When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it seeks to find rest. When it finds none, it says this, I will return to my house. My house, he called it. My house. And when he comes back, he found it swept and garnished but not occupied. He moves back in with seven more of his buddies, and the latter end of that man is worse than the beginning. Why? Because it was his house. You never took possession of your rightful house. It was still empty. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, the Lord is after the house just like the devil's after the house. The Lord wants your house too. He told that den of thieves, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And you have turned it into a den of thieves. It's my house. Let me tell you, my keepers of the house, you are responsible for what goes on in your house. If you're the keeper of the house, then keep it. But God will hold you responsible for what goes on in your house. Could I get my brothers to give Lord a hand clap this morning? If you're the keeper of the house, you need to understand that you are responsible for what goes on in your house. Amen. Jesus talked about building a house. He said, one built upon the sand, one built upon the rock, and great was the fall of the one that built upon the sand, for the winds came, the waters came, the floods came, all this came, and beat upon it, and great was the fall of it. Now listen close. That house was not divided. It was built on an unstable foundation. So there are houses that can have peace and harmony till the storms come, till the wind blows. But the house that was built upon the rock stood firm. And my brothers and sisters, as the keeper of the house, your foundation, my trust is in him this morning. I've got to dig down. It's my responsibility to get the sand out of the way and dig down till I hit the rock and build my house, my wife, my two kids, my grandkids, whatever is part of this household, I want it on the rock. It's my responsibility. Because the wind will come and the waves will come and it will beat upon every house. Whoo, my God. Nobody is immune to trouble this morning. And wouldn't it be terrible to withstand all the troubles and the pressures of the job and pressures of life and pressures at school and all the things you go and lose your house because you divided it? Because you couldn't get along. My, my. In your house, you have all kinds of things to help you with your troubles. Some of you may have a gun. I got a bat and a gun. No. I got a bat and a gun. If one don't get you, the other one will. Y'all pray for me. But I'm going to protect my house. Yes, sir. I'll protect my house. But in our house is more than guns and knives and things to protect our house. Inside your house is flashlights and candles so you can see your way to protect yourself from falling. And in your house, you have pills. I won't say how many of y'all got pills in your house. We all have pills in our house because you're trying to fight headaches, trying to fight arthritis, trying to fight depression, and you're fighting for the house. You're trying to fight for this house. That's what you're fighting for. You're fighting for this house because you want to be well. You want to be whole, and I understand that. But what do you do when you keep fighting something and it's not working? What do you do when you keep fighting something? Do you try something else? Do you go to something else and say, well, maybe this will work, and maybe this will work, and you keep looking for a remedy to keep your house safe? I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, the only thing, except the Lord keep the house, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I'm not against having all this stuff, but I'm here to tell you, it's still up to him. Amen. And somebody needs to get their house in order because it's in trouble. The Lord looked at Hezekiah in his day of trouble and he said, Hezekiah, get your house in order because you are fixing to die. I'm not preaching somebody's fixing to die this morning. That's not my message, but my message is this. You better get your house in order. This ain't real evangelistic, it's more pastoral, but I'm just going to tell you, you better get your house in order. And there is an order to a house. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, we are living in a generation today and that it's just so different than when I was raised and when you were raised. I just call it an illegitimate generation. Now, I'm not talking about illegitimate children. That's been forever, although it's more rampant today. But what I'm talking about is illegitimate fathers, illegitimate mothers, illegitimate husbands, illegitimate wives, ones that don't assume responsibility. And we have children that are in their house. And one day they're going to try to act out a role as a father when they don't have a script to go by. They're going to try to be a mommy and they don't know how to be a mommy because they didn't have a role model to say, that's how you do it, honey. It's an illegitimate generation that's raising children and the parents are not role models. Oh, I'm too near you not to hear you this morning. Can your kids look at you and say, I want to be just like daddy. I want to be just like mommy. If they can't get your house in order. My Lord. My house is in trouble. How will your children ever know peace with you screaming and hollering? How will they ever know joy when they see nothing but tears and sadness? How will they ever know tranquility when you keep slamming the door? How will they ever know forgiveness unless they see you put your arm around your wife or your child and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You forgive Daddy for this. How do they know how to forgive if you don't teach them? My house is in trouble. It's time, my brothers and sisters, that you put first things first. And the house is above you. Whatever you bring into existence supersedes you. Because I'm responsible for that now. Oh, my God. When the Lord spoke to Noah about getting into the ark, here's what he said. He said, I've decided to destroy the earth with a flood. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen righteousness in thee and in thy generation. Noah wasn't perfect, I understand that. But he said he was upright, he was righteous in his generation. And God must have looked at his house and said, it's in order. It's in order. And I want him and all of his family to get in the house. So we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 that Noah moved with fear to the saving of his own household. Hallelujah. Lord, it was Noah's responsibility to get them on the ark. And it is your responsibility to get your children, your wife, sir, and lead them into the ark. When we look at this parable of the sheep, the coin, and the prodigal son, do you remember that? I hate picking on that prodigal son, but I'm telling you, he is awesome. This is one of those awesome stories in all the Bible, is that sermon there. But when we look at the analogy of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, all three of these parables were about the house. And I never really saw that until just recently. It was all about the house. The sheep that was lost may have left in the field that it was in. But my point is this. When the sheep came back, there was rejoicing in heaven's house. There was rejoicing in heaven's house. The angels began to sing and all being rejoiced. Because what was lost, the sheep that had wandered away, was found. When the coin was found. The coin was found, and she calls her neighbors and friends and had a party in the house. And yes, when the prodigal son came home, there was a party in the house. The house should be the place of happiness. The house should be the place of joy. The house should be a place where you can praise God and lift your voice up and magnify God and pray with your children. I want to tell you, if you can't pray with your children, you don't have a house. It's a den. Oh, I don't have time to preach the difference between a house and a den. My Lord. And this lets me know that there's trouble in every house. But if you're not careful, you'll let the trouble stay there when a house should be a house of rejoicing. Because the houses were not rejoicing as long as the coin was lost. The house was not rejoicing as long as the sheep was lost. The father's house was not rejoicing as long as the son was gone. But when they came home, there was rejoicing. And when you look at this parable, my brothers and sisters, there couldn't have been much rejoicing at the father's house because even his elder brother, who was out in the field, said, what is that I hear? What meaneth this? For he heard music at a distance. I haven't heard that, and I don't know when. Because there was sadness in the house because somebody was missing. What meaneth these things? When the younger brother returned, the house that once was divided was now restored. Well, almost. Because when he got back, he got divided with the big brother. The Bible says he was angry that his father had to go out and entreat him. Well, Dad, you never did this for... See, the house was being divided. It was being divided with the return of the one that had divided it. You never did that for me? And I've been here all this time. He said, son, my son which was lost, now he's found. You are ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Can't you be happy? And the house was divided with anger over the return of the one who took his substance and divided his substance and lost it. But he come home. He come home. As they come this morning, the sheep that was lost wandered away and was found by a shepherd. This sheep that was lost, no doubt, didn't intend on being lost. It just kind of greener pasture over there, greener over there. And before long, it was lost. And the shepherd goes out and finds it. Listen close. The coin that was lost had nothing to do with being lost. It was just lost in the house. Lost. Nothing to do with it. But when it was found by the householder, there was rejoicing. But the boy that left the house left on purpose. The sheep didn't do it on purpose. The coin didn't do it on purpose. But the boy that left the house said, Dad, give me my portion that befalleth me. And he left on purpose. But can I tell you this? He also came home on purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The coin didn't come home on purpose. The sheep didn't come home on purpose. But the boy said, I had enough. And he comes home on purpose. Amen. Let me talk to you this morning a little bit about coming home on purpose. Amen. This young man, as any lost boy would be, gets hooked up with the wrong people. You show me a lost boy, and I'll show you a boy who's desiring the wrong thing. He'll get hooked up with the wrong people every time. Joined himself as a citizen of a foreign country. And you show me a boy that don't have a daddy with him that trained him, I'm going to tell you what I'll show you. A boy that'll waste what his father gives him. He wasted his substance and he wasted his time. And before long, guess what a lost boy will be done? Mistreated. Before long, he's mistreated. Well, I'm glad Dad couldn't see that. I'm glad that Dad didn't have a way to communicate with him like we do today, because he would have been distraught to see his son out there with a bucket, an old stinking husk, going to feed swine when he could be at my table eating bread with me. You stay lost enough, sir, ma'am, let me tell you what, you'll start desiring unnatural things. Unnatural affections, unnatural thing. He desired to eat the husk that he would have fed the swine, and it looked good to him. Things that you thought you would never do start looking good to you when you really get lost. But the turning point, as you stand this morning, the turning point of the prodigal son is different than the turning point of the sheep who was found by the shepherd. It's different than the coin who the lady swept the house until finally she said, I found it. The turning point of the boy was when he began to want. And no man gave unto him. I've said too many times, we enable people to do wrong. You'll enable your children. You'll enable somebody else to continue to do wrong. He did not turn until no man gave. As long as there was handouts, he'd have stayed there. But the turning point was when he began to want. And no man gave to him. How did he find himself? See, the coin didn't find himself. The sheep didn't find themselves. But the boy found himself. The Bible says he came to himself. Do you know how you come to yourself? All the way from the back to up here. Get honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. As long as he had stuff, the stuff was lying to him. Oh, we're going to have a good time. We're going to do this. You don't need that. You don't need the house. Get out of the house while you can get out and know everything. Get out, get out, get out. And it was lying to him. But when he began to walk, guess what? He began to get honest. Nobody. Nothing. That'll make you honest. And when he began to get honest with himself, he said, this ain't working. What I have been doing is not working. I see now that I was wrong. I shall arise and go back to my father's house. I divided it. I'm going to put it back together. And I'm going to tell Dad I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. No searching, now listen, no sweeping, no shepherd calling, no father with binoculars, no sir. He saw him a long ways off, but he wasn't trying to email him, he wasn't trying to call him or check on him. He just said, I'm just going to pray for him. Prayers will reach further than emails will. Son, I'm praying for you. Honey, I'm praying for you. That's it. I'm praying for you. And that will do more than anything else will do. When the prodigal son got close to the house, his father looked out and saw him coming yet a great ways off. And then the father left the house and got his son and brought him back to the house. You know what it's time for somebody to do today? It's time to get honest. Get honest. I was teaching the Sunday school class this morning to Seth and Davin, and I was teaching them about deceit. First sin recorded in the Bible was about dishonesty, being deceived, being suckered in. And if every one of you would get honest, it won't take you long to get down here. Does anybody want to be honest this morning? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Be honest this morning. It begins with being honest in your own sight and saying like he did, I ain't right. I ain't right. I ain't right at all. You see, what Eve and Adam did was this. Lord, it's that woman you gave me. That's that woman. That's why I said, Lord, I wasn't going to mess up. It's that woman. Be honest. Well, what about you? Oh, that serpent, Lord, it's that serpent. If that serpent had to come along, I was doing good till that serpent came along. And once that serpent came along, it just beguiled me. Be honest. Be honest. Quit hiding. Quit smiling when you're not really. Be honest. My house is in trouble. Come closer. Come closer. You know what Jacob did before he died? Can I talk to you just a little while? Because we're going to pray for family. Can I talk to you a little while? Jacob, that deceiver, you know that guy? You know that deceiving guy? He was so deceived, he wasn't honest. But Lord, on his deathbed, he called all 12 of them tribes of Israel around. He said, I'm going to be honest now. Reuben, you're weak as water, son. You know what? He said you're unstable as water. You know what that means, to be unstable as water? Water's a very stable compound. I mean, you got to boil it to turn it into a vapor. But what he's meaning is you mixed with anything that came by. When they said throw him in the pit, you, oh yeah, let's throw him in the pit. I'll come back and get him later. You always, whatever you were around, that's what you become. Water becomes whatever you mix it with. You understand? And he went down the road, brother, telling all 12 of them, I'm going to be honest with you, son. I'm going to be honest with you. Levi, what you did that time, and I'm going to tell you something. That wasn't honest what you did. It's time for you, my brothers and sisters, to get honest with yourself. And until you're honest with yourself, as long as you keep lying to yourself, you're going to go down, down, down. And you'll finally reach a place where you'll get honest. My cousin is in the jail today trying to get honest. Couldn't leave that stuff alone. Oh, it's going to make me do this. I'm going to have friends. I'm going to do this. Be honest. That's not where it's at. And today they got him locked up so he'll learn to be honest. Separate into your families, if you will. If you're already there, that's fine. But if you're not, get to your families. If you don't have family here, grab somebody. We're all church family. Who in here can raise their hand and say, I'm the head of the house? Even if you live alone, and I'm the head of the house. Where's my housekeepers? I'm the head of the house. You have a huge responsibility on you and you and you for what goes on in your house. And you that are under the head of the house must be in submission to the one that is the head of the house, lest the house be divided. And a house that is divided will not stand, but is brought to desolation, to an end. Hold hands if you're part of the house. As they sing this morning, I want you to grip that hand tight and pray for the house. Pray for the house. Lord, I need you in my house. I need you in my life. Oh, God, come into my house, Lord. Come into my house, Lord. Hallelujah.